And please stand with me. Again, it is just a great honor to have with us Brother Jack Lehman. Brother Lehman, I first met him in 1968. He pioneered the church in Wausau. At one time, I pastored in Shawano. He pastored in Wausau. Brother Merrick pastored in Green Bay. Brother Blackshear pastored in Clintonville. And Brother Marvin Curry pastored in Stevens Point. Brother Lehman left and went to Ohio and later went to headquarters to work in the Foreign Missions Division. Brother Curry went to headquarters and later became the manager of the Pentecostal Publishing House. Brother Merrick went to Minnesota and became the district superintendent there. Brother Blackshear went to Alaska and became the district superintendent. And I later became the district superintendent of the state of Wisconsin. And it all kind of started with all of us in one little cluster there. But Brother Lehman, is it ever good to have you and Sister Lehman here? And we want him to come at this time and take his liberty to present to us his burden for missions. God bless Brother and Sister Lehman.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Which mic do I use? This one? Either one. Let's go this way.
All right. They'll take care of that. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. And Brother Grant gave a little information about our past and how we were in Wisconsin, and we always still love this place. We love Wisconsin, and it's great to be here today. And then I congratulate Pastor Roy and his dad of being co-pastors here. It reminded me this morning that when I went to headquarters, my son, they live in Florida, and he came home, and he was home for a few days visit, and we were driving down the street, you know, toward our home, and he looked over at me and he said, "Dad," he said, "why don't you take a church and let me come and work with you?" And I thought, well, you know, I can appreciate this combination here. I think that is tremendous. I really do. And I just kind of envy them from that standpoint. But God is so good. And today, I am thrilled to be here. We've looked forward to coming because we keep in contact with Wisconsin. And we definitely keep in contact with your pastor, Brother John Grant. As he mentioned, we've known each other for many years. And I appreciate the work that he has done. In fact, his teaching ministry across the fellowship has been tremendous. And whenever I hear where he might be, I'd like to be there because I know he gives you the word. And by doing so, you can grow. And it's just a delight to be here today. I'd like to have you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And I want to begin reading with verse 41. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. And it reads like this: "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." And I want to speak this morning on the subject, does God care about my giving? You may be seated. Now, you know the preacher does, you know, because we take up offerings, and many people say, is that all you folks do, is just take up offerings? Well, no, it isn't. But giving is a part of living. You can't take your next breath until you give your last one. So believe me, giving is a part of living. Now, this particular setting that I've read this morning is when Jesus was in the temple watching the giving that was being received. He observed a number of wealthy people as they came by giving out of plenty, but then his attention was drawn to a widow lady who came by and gave. Now, you know, widows are spoken of many times in the scripture. And I think the Lord just wants to give special attention to the lady that has lost her husband. Maybe she's lost her income. They're spoken of many times in the scripture. Now, in this setting, the Bible lets us know that they were coming by, giving in the offering, and then there was a widow lady that seemed to catch the attention of Jesus, along with his disciples who were off to the side. Now, Jesus saw what she gave, and the Bible lets us know that she gave 2 mites, or equal to 1 farthing. Now, a mite was the smallest of copper coins, normally equal to 1/8 of a penny. A farthing was a Roman coin equal to about 1/4 of a penny. So when you realize how little she gave, you wonder, why did she even bother? But yet, she wanted to give. And I think that we got to realize this, that the message declared by our Lord on this occasion is that a gift is to be evaluated not by its size only, but by a comparison with the gift by the total amount the person possesses. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, a large donation out of abundance may be less significant than a small donation out of poverty. Now, this woman gave the smallest gift of all. She gave everything that she had. But the Bible zeroes in on the fact that her giving was very small. However, he was watching, and he saw that he saw what she gave. You see, man sees what is given. God sees what is left. I want to repeat that. Man sees what is given. God sees what is left. A number of years ago, I was in a service in Mississippi on a Wednesday night. I was there with a missionary from the Philippines. And the missionary in the Philippines, he made an appeal in his presentation for some funds for a building that was needed in the Philippines. Well, little did I realize what all was going on in the minds of individuals there, but there was one man seated over to the left of the platform, clear over to the edge, and when he heard the appeal, and following the appeal, then the pastor got up and said, I feel like we need to help this need in the Philippines. So he asked the people to come around and give in the offering where there was a table right in front of the pulpit here. And they started coming. Well, later I found out that this couple that was seated to the left, they were over there wanting to give, but the man only had $5 total. That's all he had. And he said, as he sat there, God spoke to him and said, I want you to put your $5 in the offering. Well, he argued with God because it was all that he had. But he couldn't sit there any longer. And finally, he got up and walked around and gave his last $5 on a Wednesday night in the offering. 2 days later, they were at home and they had some visitors come and visit them that drove 100 miles to get there. Well, they visited that Friday, and just before this visiting couple left, they handed that man that had given his last $5 2 days before they handed him $1,000 before they walked out the door. Now, that isn't just an accident. I really believe as you look at the scripture, and it's already been mentioned this morning, about the fact that the Bible has so many scriptures about giving. Now, there's some 500 on prayer. There's 500 on faith. And really, when you boil it down to giving and stewardship, there are over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible on giving and stewardship. So apparently the Lord wanted us to pay close attention to that fact, that he is concerned about our giving. And if we want to keep it all to ourselves, we rob ourselves of the blessings of Almighty God. The Lord wants us to be concerned. Now, you know, most of the worshipers here in Mark chapter 12, most of the worshipers, they were coming by giving out of abundance. In fact, the American Standard Version, in referring to this scripture, it says that the wealthy, they gave of their superfluity. In other words, it's simply saying they were loaded. You understand what? They had a whole lot more they could have given, but they gave just a little. And following them was that widow lady as she came by. Now, you know, this widow lady, the scripture says she gave all that she had. Now, no doubt she had many needs. No doubt, I mean, she was a widow. And there may be some widows here this morning. You could understand her situation. She felt that she had to give, even though it was all that she had. But the Lord was watching. He was seated off to the side with his disciples. And as he sat there, he kind of turned to the disciples and he said, "See that lady going by there?" He said, "She has given more than all the others put together." You see, again, the Lord sees what we give, and he also sees what we keep. And there with those people, he saw them give a little bit. But he also, what I also noticed in this setting, it says that he watched how they were giving. I can see the wealthy as they came by, and I can see them kind of, you know, hold their gift up and kind of drop it in the plate so that everybody could see the amount. But then on the other hand, I can see that widow lady as she came by with just two mites in her hand. And I can see her put her hand, I mean, she, you know, what she gave wasn't anything to be compared with what the wealthy had given in their eyes. But the Lord was watching as she came by and gave. You see, if the Church of the Living God, if we could ever get a revelation of giving, if we could ever get a revelation of giving, I believe God could do so much more for us than what he's already able to do. We deprive Almighty God of blessing us because we are too stingy. Really, I believe what I'm saying here this morning. A number of years ago, since I was working, I've been working with foreign missions for a number of years, but I was invited to the Ohio camp that was in progress, and I was invited that on their missions day, there was a need presented for the country of Burma. Mine went blank. The country of Burma. And I was asked to raise $5,000 for the need in Burma. Well, when I was thinking about the offering that I would be making an appeal for, I was trying to calculate now, how can I break this down and get the $5,000 as quick as possible? Well, I thought about now maybe if I can get five pastors, to give $1,000 each from their church. So as I made the presentation, that was the appeal I made. Five pastors to give $1,000 each. There was one pastor seated over to the side. He stood up, he said, "Brother Lehman, I'll take it all." Well, that was easy. $5,000 from one church. Later, he said, "Brother Lehman," he said, when I said we would give it all, he said, "We didn't have it." But he said, "I just felt that's what God wanted our church to do." So the service was on a Thursday afternoon. And so he thought, now I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning. And just before I preach, I will tell them what I did at the camp. And tell them now, if you're in this service and are willing to help me with the $5,000 that we needed, he said, just see me after church. So he said, that morning I preached. And he said, when I finished and the service was over, he said, I looked up and they were lined all the way back the center aisle of that church, one after another. And they started telling me how much they were going to give. And he calculated it up. And when it was all totaled, they had given $7,500 and he had only asked for five. What happened? He said, you know, that church, and this church is also included in that category. This church gives, that church gave. God will bless us when we are willing to listen as he gives direction. And I do believe the Lord speaks. Now, he may not speak to you in an audible voice, but I do believe the Lord speaks to us with, you know, just that inner impulse, that inner feeling. This is what I need to do. I was reminded of an incident that happened in a church I was in Oklahoma. I'd preached there, and I'd been there the year before. But the second year I came back, one of the ladies in the church related to me about what God did for her family since last year. She said, we are in business. We have a business. And she said, every year, we've always had to borrow $30,000 to get us through the winter. And she said, last year when you were here, she says, I was listening to the message. And she said, I felt an amount. I felt an amount that God wanted me to commit in that service. She argued with God, but yet she said, now, God, if that's what you want me to commit, I'm asking you to have Brother Lehman relate a story with that amount in it. And she said, right after that, you did. You related the story. So she made the commitment. And she said, since that service last year, we did not have to borrow $30,000 to get us through the winter. God blessed them to the degree. I simply believe it was because God was watching what she did and honored her step of faith. When we are willing to obey the Lord, God will do amazing things for us. Brother Harry Sism, who was our foreign mission director for a number of years, in fact, I worked with him for 25, and so we were pretty close with our relationship. But he related that, of course, before Brother Sism was foreign mission director, he had served in India for 25 years as a missionary. And then he came to headquarters and served there for 25 years. But really, it was kind of amazing because every chance Brother Sism got to go back to India to visit, he was on his way. There was something about his years of experience there just brought such a love in his heart for those people. And so he had a chance to go back. But before he went back on this particular trip, he had a friend in Illinois that had a jewelry store and would save used watches and give them to Brother Sism to take overseas to the Nationals. And that's what happened on this particular trip. He saw this man and had quite a few watches to take with him overseas. He arrived over there, and when he got there, he gave these watches out to the national pastors. Well, they might have been used watches here in America, but they were new to them overseas, and they were delighted to get them. But he related that later in the conference that they were in, that they made an appeal for an offering to help other areas of India. And he said they came down the aisle. He said they had put a sheet out in front of the platform there and laid a sheet because men came and they took off the only coat they had, put it in the offering, and some of them took the watch off that had just been given to them, placed it in the offering. Some put the only pair of shoes they had in the offering. And so it was quite an offering that had been received there. But Brother Sism related this. He said later on in another service in the same conference, he said the Spirit of God settled down over that auditorium. And he said they started singing. And he said he realized that entire congregation of preachers was singing in tongues in unison. Now, I've heard singing in tongues, but I've never heard an auditorium where everybody was singing in tongues, praising, giving praise unto the Lord. But I believe God saw what they had just done in a previous offering and was willing to bless them in amazing ways. But I believe God will still do the same today if we give him a chance. I emphasize that if, because so many times God wants to do it, but we don't give him a chance. You see, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, what's a cheerful giver? Well, in the original, it goes back and says, God loveth a hilarious giver. You know, that's one that loves to give. Now, you know, you got to be around Pentecost a little while before you come to that spiritual part, that whenever the offering is taken, you get so excited, I want to give. But God is watching our attitude. He's watching our disposition. He's watching so many ways about our giving. Now, let me just ask this question or make this statement. Here at home, we give out of habit. Here at home, when the offering is taken, we give out of habit. If we've always given $1, well, when they say it's time for the offering, well, $1. Well, I mean, do we want God to bless us? Are we willing to say, now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me for this offering? What do you want me to give, Lord? Do you realize that many of us, when we go out, maybe just after this service today, when we go out to a restaurant, we will give more in a tip in the restaurant than we give in the offering. Now, who blesses us the most? Who blesses us the most? Is it that waiter or that waitress? Or is it Almighty God who has promised? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end. Now, this morning, you know, when you were handed out a faith promise card, it's in it's perforated, so you can tear it apart. But the one I want us to consider this morning is this white part. This white part here, where it says, that I am willing to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to channel through me? What do you want to channel through me, Lord, in the way of giving? Now, when we ask the Lord, expect an answer. I recall being in a church in Missouri just a couple years ago. And it was on a Sunday morning, and there was a new couple that came in church that Sunday morning. Now, the wife had been a former Catholic, and that morning, as I preached and talked about the miracles that God will do if you give him a chance in your giving, she was listening. Later, she related that I really doubted the stories that you were telling. I just didn't think it could happen quite like that. But there, as the appeal was made, and they filled out their card, believe it or not, their first time there, they filled it out for $80 a month. $80 a month, first time there. Well, what really convinced her that God watches our giving, that within that same month, they received an unexpected check for $959.60. That is 40 cents short of 80 times 12. She became a giver, and God blessed them in amazing ways. And, this church, I was in a church in North Carolina where that church, they became involved in Faith Promise. And the next year, after their first Faith Promise commitment service, the city gave that church 4 acres between the church and a highway, 4 acres valued at $36,000, given to them without even asking. Now, that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. But there is something about letting the Lord guide you and direct you in your giving. If you ask him, he'll give you direction. He'll give you direction. One of our missionaries was traveling just 2 years ago. No, it hasn't even been a full 2 years. Yes, it was just 2 years ago this month, March, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They were there for a Wednesday night service, but it just so happens that church decided that is the night they were going to raise money for a new organ. And it was going to cost $150 per key on the organ to buy what they wanted. Well, the missionary was seated right on the front row. And when the appeal was made for $150, she stood up and she said, "We will give $150. They said, "Oh, Sister Vitito, we don't want you to do that. You're a missionary." She said, "Don't cheat me out of a blessing." The next morning, they were driving down the street, leaving Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the missionary, Brother Votaw, there was a truck went by and it said Votaw Electric. Well, it really got his attention because the name Votaw is not quite as familiar as Smith and Jones and some of the other names. So he pulled the driver over. He said, "I want you to take me. I want to meet your boss." So they went and went to that electric company, went in and talked with the boss. And of course, they were talking about their name and all. And finally, the owner of this electric company said, "Well, what do you do?" Well, Brother Votaw, he just related about his missionary experience. He's been a missionary in Hong Kong, in China, and other countries. And finally, the owner of that company, the electric company, sat down and wrote Brother Votaw a check for $1,500. 10 times what she had committed the night before. Less than 24 hours. You see, God Almighty watches our giving. And he rewards us accordingly. You know the scripture says, give, Luke 6:38, give, and it's on the back side of the darker side. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God Almighty watches our giving. I was in Minneapolis, and I was there on a Sunday morning, and there was a couple in that church that I'd been there the year before, and the second year I was there, they came up with this testimony and related to me. They said, "Brother Lehman, when you were here last year, we made a faith promise commitment of $100 a month, by faith. But she said, after the service, we received a letter from the city stating that they wanted to buy our home." Well, they knew nothing about that. Well, they wanted to buy their home and said, we walked out of that, said we didn't have to pay for a real estate agent. We just, the city did all the work and we sold that home for $82,000 more than we paid for it just 4 years prior. Then she went on to say, she said, "Now the home that we bought, they dropped that price $20,000. So, I mean, a pretty good deal. You know, they obeyed God with a $100 commitment and they got over $100,000. Not normal. And especially in this economy, not normal. But Jesus said, give, and I'm going to move on men to give back to you. There is something about giving to Almighty God. It gets his attention. And, you know, when he watches our giving, it's exciting. It's exciting. Now, you know, there's something about faith. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. That's faith. So you see, when we ask, "Lord, what do you want to channel through me?" In fact, I received an email from a pastor just about 2 months after I had been with them for their first Faith Promise service. And he related 4 miracles that had taken place in that church. 4 financial miracles. Just one after, and the final miracle that he mentioned is that they had wanted to recarpet part of the church, and it was cost them several thousand dollars. And right after that first Faith Promise meeting, There was a businessman in the city, not even connected with the church, gave them $13,000 and he did the work for the new carpet. Again, God watches our giving. Even in Madison, Wisconsin. Even in Madison. You know, there's something about obeying God's direction. And, you know, when the Lord blesses, when the Lord pours out his spirit, he'll do amazing things for us. I was at a church in Colorado Springs, their first faith promise service. The amazing thing is the results of what happened. The following month, after they had stepped out by faith, asking, "Now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me?" They obeyed, and within the first month, 32 families in that church got raises to take care of their monthly commitment. 8 of them got a year's commitment that took care of all of it for the year. First month. In the same church, there was a widow lady. There was a widow lady there. And she had stepped out by faith, asking the Lord for direction. And she felt, "Lord, I just feel you want me to give a $50 commitment." She signed her card. And prior to that service, she had fallen in one of the stores there in Colorado Springs and broke her dentures. Well, right after that service, that store called her and said, "Ma'am, we would like to make a settlement with you on the accident that you had in our store." They said, "Would you settle for $5,000 for your dentures?" She said, "Oh, you don't have to worry. I'm not going to sue you." They said, "Ma'am, will you settle for $5,000? It did give her enough to make her $50 a month payment. It did give her enough. You calculate it out. That's a pretty good return. But if we are willing to say, "Now, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. Whatever you want to channel through me." And I close with this. Toledo, Ohio is a church that has been involved in missions giving for many years. And there was a man, a businessman in that city that was in the service that where the commitment was being taken. And the previous year, he had made a $200 a month commitment. But then the next year, he began to think, $200 a month, I could do a lot with that. And so he decided, "I'm not going to turn in a commitment this year." And so he didn't turn one in. And right after that, his income started going downhill, until the pastor related, he said, "I even had to make appeal for food for that family. It got that bad." And he said, "I was praying about, Lord, what about this family? What has happened here?" He said, the Lord impressed him, ask him about his faith promise. He said, but Lord, I never ask anybody ever. This is between you and them. I mean, I don't ask on that." He said, the Lord said, ask him about his faith promise. So he went to that brother and he said, "Brother, you know," talked with him, "you know, I know you've really had some financial struggles," but he said, "You know, do you have any idea what the problem has been?" He said, that man spoke up and said, "Well, Pastor," he said, "I did not renew my faith promise from last year." And when he told the pastor that, the pastor related, he said, "I gave him a quick Bible study on giving." The man renewed his commitment, and right after that, things started going back uphill. Why? Because God still watches our giving. And you know, you try to cheat God, and you're in trouble. You are in deep trouble when you try to cheat God. But today, I simply ask you this. Are you willing to obey as God gives direction? Are you willing to give God? You know, I know from experience that God will bless a church that steps out and are willing to just involve God in your giving. I pastored a church, and I saw the blessings of God just flood that church. After I left Wausau and went back to Lancaster, Ohio, God blessed that church. We had faith promise presented soon after we went back, and God started blessing in amazing ways. The last year I was there, we were 11th in the nation in our giving. And it wasn't that way when I went back. But when we bring God into our finances, when we bring, you see, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the only scripture in the Bible where we are told to prove God, and it's in our giving. He said, prove me now herewith, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing beyond what you can contain. Israel obeyed and God blessed. If you're having financial struggle, financial problems, give God a chance to remedy that condition. Give him a chance. Give him a 30-day chance. You know, sometimes you fill out a form, we'll give you 30 days. Well, hey, give God 30 days. You'll find out it works, friend. There is no question about it. And that form that you have, if you just take that, now we're concerned about a monthly income. Just simply take that and put your name on it and say, now, Lord, if this is what you want me to commit, I'm willing, oh God, to write this out and believe you to supply and provide. He'll do it. He'll do it. But we've got to give him a chance. He doesn't just do it automatically. When we say, now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me? And as he directs, if we are willing to obey, he will provide. He's that kind of God. He's that, his word says, he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give. That's what happens. You make the commitment and God moves on men. I've got a lot of stories I could tell you on that, of how God provides. But he'll do it in Madison. He'll do it in your life. So this morning, step out. Give God a chance. Say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I do know that you've answered prayers in the past. You've answered previous prayers, God, and I'm simply believing you that you'll do it in my life. So this morning, as you fill that card out and just, you know, lay it on the altar, because it's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. So give him a chance and then see what happens. He's that kind of God.
And we would like for you to stand, if you would, and our music team will come back. Now, we want to pray before you do your pledging. And as I stated before, if you want to wait till tonight, just make sure you bring your card back. But as many of you that can, we'd like for you to pledge today. And as I finish praying and our praise team sings, just bring your card down and just lay it on the altar area, steps, any place across the front. The ushers will pick those up later. And then return back to your pew, and we want to give everyone a chance, the opportunity, to have their needs met here at the altar. So bow your heads with me in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the bountiful gifts that you have given to us here at Calvary Gospel Church. We know, Lord Jesus, that you previously gave those bountiful gifts to all of the contributors here at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, Lord, we recognize your lordship and that we're just your stewards. That simply means that we manage something that does not really belong to us, but it belongs to you. So you can pull rank on us anytime you want to. Now, there's a dying world out there that's in need of salvation. Without our giving, and other churches like us giving, these people will not be able to receive the gospel. But I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd move upon our hearts today with a real desire not to see a gift returned as much as to be a blessing to somebody else. So I'm asking, God, that you move upon this congregation. Speak to each individual heart. Give a directive to each one of us concerning our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our praise singers will sing. Make your card out and just bring it down, lay it on the altar, and then return back to your pew. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come and seek the Lord at the altar.